Good morning, folks. I hope that you're having a good day. It is a great day for me. A guy that I followed his career and really enjoyed watching, Deuce McAllister. I've been here 7 years. This is the first time that I've been able to broadcast with him, so it's a pleasure for me. When I was about to take this job, I went in to watch Deuce and Bobby and others conduct a show. And Deuce talked for like 20 minutes and didn't have a single note in front of him and knew every player, what was going on, where he went to college, what he was doing, the whole nine yards. And I'm sitting there scared, and I'm saying to myself, there is no way that I can do this. Bobby, on the other hand, has paper spread out about 16 yards across the studio with highlights and color tabs and this, that, and everything else. And I was very impressed, and I hope you brought that photographic memory with you this morning, Deuce. Because
I do have it, but I also do have my paper and my notebook that I got out as well. So I'm excited, and I know, obviously, the station, the organization, the Pelicans, for us as an organization, we're excited to bring the Pelicans to the Gulf Coast, not just New Orleans. It's to the Gulf Coast, and we are looking forward to a tremendous day here, Media Day, with the Pelicans and WWL. And so I won't hold it up anymore because we have some outstanding guests here waiting with us, sitting on the line with us.
We have our Senior VP and Market Manager for Odyssey New Orleans, Dan Barron, our boss. Dan, welcome to the show. And we also have with us David Griffin, who is the Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations with the Pelicans. And we welcome both of y'all to announce this great partnership that we have moving forward. And WWL Radio is very excited about being the radio station for the Pelicans.
Well, we're excited to be part of the family and to have you part of ours. I think, obviously, the time we've spent here, we've heard a good deal of WWL. I've gotten to hear a good deal of Deuce throughout the years, and just really excited about this partnership. You mentioned the entire Gulf Coast. I think that's something that's really meaningful for us. These changes that were made this offseason in terms of our broadcast package as a whole, I think are going to put us in a position to much more be the team of the region in the same way the Saints have been, and we're really, really grateful to get to do it with you all.
And Dan, I know you your feelings are similar. Very exciting.
I couldn't agree more. It's a big day. It's a new day, a new season of Pelicans basketball upon us. It's hard to believe that basketball is here. We're right on the cusp of a new season and this new partnership. And for me personally, to have sit at this table with Deuce on my right and the sheriff on my left, this is a big table. I'm not sure that I'm worthy, but I'm very happy to be here.
Very exciting. You just addressed the media. I was in there. It was very interesting conversations. I love the way that you kind of piece everything together as to character being the utmost importance to assembling a team. Obviously, there's always the finances, but the finances, as you pointed out, they work their way out. They will work their way out if the character works is right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the results always dictate the finances to a huge degree. And we've been really blessed to have some continuity with a group of guys that love playing together. And they also happen to be incredibly talented and have the ability to do some things on the court in a way that could potentially lend to something special. But if they're not about the right things off the court, and if they're not playing for and through each other, none of their talent level matters. And so the part that we're most excited about is that we've got a group that really cares about one another, and they care about results. And Deuce, I'm sure you've been in locker rooms where you could feel whether or not the arc of everybody's career had led them to only want to win. That's where we are right now. And you've probably been in locker rooms that were more talented than the ones you won with. And they didn't win because they weren't about those things. And this group will be about that.
Yeah, I know we can talk basketball, you know, and we will obviously ask some of those questions. But just talk about the impact that you want not only the organization but your players to make in New Orleans but the region as well.
Yeah, and it's funny, actually. We introduced New Age Products as our jersey patch sponsor immediately before Media Day started. And one of the big reasons that we wanted to partner with them is how committed they are to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast in terms of making this a home for them and for making this sort of the hub of their operations. And it's something Mrs. Benson, from the beginning of the time that I've been here, has made really clear to her, or really clear to us, rather. We're all just stewards of a sacred trust with our community. We're just caretaking for a team that belongs to them. And so if you're not similarly caretaking for them off the floor, then you're just not being a good partner. And that's something that I think we are all very committed to and have been from the beginning. And I was really fortunate in Phoenix. Jerry Colangelo was probably the best leader I've ever seen in a community. Dan Gilbert and what he was able to do in Cleveland, what LeBron did in Cleveland, what he's done off the floor with the I Promise Academy. I've had great role models in that way, and Mrs. Benson's exactly like them.
It's definitely true that big sports teams can be big difference makers in a community. Obviously, they're out front. There's celebrity status with it in many respects, and the Pelicans have a series of celebrities out there that are making a difference day in and day out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can enter a season with reasons for things, you can enter a season with excuses for things, and you can enter a season with passion for something. And this group has always had a passion for the community we're in. This team's not meant for everybody. The way the Saints were built, it's not meant for everybody.
Yeah.
You have to be a special type of person to want to be of this community in the way you need to be. And I think we've done a really good job of following Mrs. Benson's lead and leaning into, Mickey has done the exact same for years, leaning into people that want to be about this community. And when we win here, it's going to be of epic significance to everyone because we've done it with everyone.
Yeah, and I guess my question for you on the basketball side of it is, we know that there's some free agents and some trades that were made. You've added some guys as far as some talent to that roster. What else do you kind of see? And obviously you want to see some games played, but what else do you kind of see, hey, this is a missing piece that I think we can add to the formula, or maybe we've got growth from a player that was here last year and now he's getting a little bit more minutes. You know, just the expectations for this team. I mean, because like you talked about, you've got a pretty good group that have been together, and now it's, can they take that next step?
Yeah, I think one of the last things you talked about was internal growth and players that have taken another step. I think we have guys that are ready to take another step. Trey Murphy had an incredible offseason of adding to the overall package he has offensively. He is incredibly elite as a catch-and-shoot shooter, and he's incredibly elite at the rim. And I think what he's done is put himself in a position that he can make the next play. Our whole offense is predicated on touching paint and kicking the ball. And ideally what's going to happen is you're going to take more threes when you do that. But at the same time, it's going to put you in a position where you have to be more of a playmaker. And so our player development team has done a really good job off the court and the work they've done of putting guys in position to make the next play when the ball is kicked to them. And we're excited about all the growth we've had in that area.
David, we Dan comes to us from Memphis. He was a Grizzly fan up there. He was the general manager of our cluster in Memphis. He's a recent transplant to New Orleans.
Was is the key word.
Was.
I will say this. That is a hell of a good team, and it's an incredibly well-run organization. And to a great degree, the fact that we are also sort of Mississippi River teammates in that way. It's daunting to think about a team that was that injured, that's now going to be completely healthy, led by Zach Kleiman, someone who I think is as good as anybody in our business. They were a team that was just a member of the Western Conference last year, and they have a chance to be a leader in the Western Conference. That's how good our conference is. Yeah. It's daunting to think about that team sort of coming back online.
It is, and to your point about the community and what a team can mean to a community, I witnessed that in Memphis and enjoyed cheering for the Grizzlies. I will say New Orleans was always a huge thorn in the Grizzlies' side, so for me, it's comforting to be on this side of the rivalry now and cheer with fever and fervor for our New Orleans Pelicans. But winning is fun. Winning is fun. And as you talk about the ascension of this team, I feel like my arrival in New Orleans, the timing couldn't be more perfect, because I see the trajectory looks really promising for the Pelicans. And at WWL, we couldn't be prouder of the timing of this relationship and the opportunity to now, as we've served the community for over a century, now to join forces with the Pelicans and take it all to a whole new level.
Yeah, I think this is just, as we said in the beginning, I think the timing of this is perfect. But I also think the point Deuce made is the one that I really think is the most critical. we want to be the team in the entire Gulf Coast region. You know, our G League team is in Birmingham. And I think under Leslie's leadership there, from a business perspective, Adam Barnes from a basketball perspective, TJ Saint, the head coach there, we've been laying the seeds of what it means to be a Pelicans fan for a little while now. And I think I'm most excited that WWL is going to be able to reap some of the benefit of that growth.
David, I was listening to the press conference, and I think it's important for our audience to hear you maybe just touch on this for a minute. This thought about not having the big center, and that we are actually they were wondering whether we're going to play big or play small, and you talked about the importance of playing small and how all of those pieces fit, and you gave some examples of teams around the league that were successful in doing so. As just a spectator, I look around, I look across the court, and there's nobody small out there.
Yeah, it's funny. Bryson loves to talk about that because he's so excited about the length we have at the wing position. You know, it's hard to say you're playing small when you're 6'7" across the board,
exactly,
or 6'8" across the board, or whatever. I do think there's a fundamental shift in the NBA to, you can play big, you can play small, but you better play well.
Yeah.
And I think people are now leaning more into what it takes for their team to be the best version of itself, and much less into sort of the stereotypical positional assignment.
Right.
And I think you're seeing a very positionless game now. The teams that are playing deep into June have incredible versatility. And we saw Boston, by way of example, lose what was in theory their starting center and win a championship despite that. That happens because they also have unbelievable depth of wing athlete defenders, and we have that. So hopefully we're in a place where we'll get the right performances from the right bigs at the right time, and I think our coaching staff is much more fixated on playing well than playing a size.
It's funny when you say someone 6'8 is going to play bigger than 6'8, right?
It's a historically large league now as well. So you've got 7-foot wings in this business now.
Yeah.
So you have to keep evolving in that space. But I do think far too much is put around the idea of tradition in positions, and much less is put around what works. And having been on the receiving end of a Golden State championship when we thought we were in a prime position playing a really big team, I know there's more than one way to skin a cat.
And I'm also very excited y'all got Jose back.
Yeah. Well,
I love his energy.
He's hard not to love. And
yeah.
I think one of the things is I love him too, and yet I get so frustrated I can't even tell you. Because he's out there making sins of commission. He's not going to make a sin of omission. And that's a blessing and a curse at times. But he just brings an energy and a care factor that really we wanted to reward. And we're super grateful that we were able to come to an agreement with him.
And Zion, lean and mean this year.
Yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by this too, because Zion grew up a point guard, and you heard me mention it in the session earlier. Zion grew up a point guard, and when he played at the highest level he's played at here, if we were going to measure him by his, quote, weight, he wasn't all that lean. But boy, could he do something with it.
Yeah.
And I think from his standpoint, people need to disassociate themselves from what it looks like and think more about what it can do. And I think where Zion has made a lot of strides is he's found comfort with his body type, and he's leaned into preparing it to do battle for as long as it takes. And that's critical. Deuce, I know you played with some guys that might not look the part, but they damn sure played the part, and Z's that.
Well, and yeah, and when you have it up top, that's what counts. I mean, because he knows how to score. He knows what he is. You see him expanding his game as well. You know, every year he's adding another move to that arsenal. And so, you know, when he's point Zion, he's distributing, and I think Antonio says it best. There's a gravitation to him, and people are going to gravitate to him. And now, if you're a catch-and-shoot guy, can I knock it down? Because that's what it's going to be, because the help is going to be going to Zion. And even if they're late, or even if the help is there, he can normally still overpower it and make the play.
And he's such a non-traditional player in the fact that the best teams we're going to play are going to retreat and meet him at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to wall up and try to be as long and as tall as they can be at the rim. And what you saw him do at the end of last season that put the entire league on notice was he will drive to the basket and then pull up from the dotted line at about 7 feet. And if he does that consistently, one, it'll take pressure off his body, and two, it'll make him almost impossible to guard. And we're excited about that.
You made an observation that really surprised me. You said that the audience has yet to see all of the shots that Zion can actually take because he is a pure shooter.
Well, when you grow up as a player being unbelievably efficient finishing at the rim, and as a rookie, you're 11 of 12 on Rudy Gobert in the paint the first time you play him, but you're also 4 for 4 from 3 in the first game you ever play, you've shown that you have a pretty diverse package.
Right.
But what happens, I think, and all players are like this in all sports, you do what you do until they stop it. Mm-hmm. And he's really comfortable finishing at the rim. And I think it's been difficult for him to embrace the idea that it might be okay to miss a couple shots that you're softening the defense up for so that at a later time you can make someone else better. Or you'll get so good at it that that's something that's comforting for you. He is so smart as a player. He knows his efficiency at the rim. He would always rather do that. And at the same time, I think what he's recognized now is he can do that for longer and at a higher level if he changes it up a little bit. So you'll see that, I think.
I was just going to say one thing. I kind of looked at this whole CBA agreement. You talked about it in the media room. I think that there were some IRS tax code analysts that actually put that together. I think the tax code might be easier to understand than the CBA agreement. Yeah. I kept going back and forth and back and forth, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, so it's fascinating. When I started in the league, you could actually have a competitive advantage by being smarter than other people. I'm the dumbest person in the room now. And what we have to do is hire all of the best cap people we can, and we're excited we brought John Mowell from Charlotte. He's really helpful. Mark Chazanoff on our staff does a remarkable job of dissecting the cap and looking for advantage. But this is going to be the first year with this new CBA where you've got the penalties of the second apron, by way of example. That has radically altered the landscape in terms of deal making. It has really stifled your ability to make trades. And so it's going to take some time for people to adjust to that. And I think what's most exciting for us is we've already got all the talent here. What we need to figure out is how it fits together. And that's a much better position to be in than a team trying to find a way to add talent.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we are really excited about this new relationship. And as we beam our broadcast across at least 13 states, depending on atmospheric conditions, sometimes 30 at night.
38,
excuse me. It opens up a new frontier for both of us, and we're excited about it.
As are we. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noel.
All righty. Folks, that's Dan Barron, who is from our head of our cluster, Senior VP and Market Manager with Odyssey New Orleans, and David Griffin, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. We are broadcasting live from Pelicans Media Day, where we're celebrating this new partnership with the Pelicans and kicking off the Pels 2024-2025 season. I'm Newell. He's Deuce. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. I'm here with Deuce McAllister, coming to you live from the Pelicans Media Day, where we're celebrating both the partnership between the New Orleans Pelicans and WWL Radio and kicking off the Pels 2024 season. We're very excited about this. And Deuce, this is a great opportunity for both the Pelicans as well as WWL as we broadcast across a number of a large area of the Gulf South, and you can tell they are very excited about that as well.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, just to be able to – this team deserves this. This organization deserves this, and the fans deserve it. And so you've got too much talent. You've got too good of a product for them not to be heard and seen. Now the only other step for this organization and this team – is to win consistently. I mean, because you've got a good core here of players, and for the fans that maybe, let's just say on the North Shore, to not be able to hear it or see it, and it's a home game, you know, I understand a road game may be a little bit different, but they can't make it, and for now them to have that ability, man, it's gonna be fantastic. And I know a lot of times, and we were talking about it off air, basketball coincides with Saints season, you know, the station will let them worry about, hey, who's playing when or what, you know, but we will carry all of the games. I think that's probably the most important part.
Well, even for the season ticket holders, because with 82 games that are played, you know, and half of those being home games, that's a lot of games. Could have bad weather conditions, this, that, folks that are really into the team, that they have this opportunity now when they can't make it.
When they can't make it, they can listen to it via the radio, and, you know, we'll give some love there to Fox 8. They will be the local broadcasting channel that will carry via television. And so for us, it's really just a fantastic opportunity for this team to be able to come in and be able to see it, to be able to hear it, and for us to be able to, you know, really just bring it to our fans like they truly deserve. And it's, you know, obviously similar to what has happened for the New Orleans Saints over, you know, the last decades. We'll just put an S on it.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there was some chatter about, and I didn't realize this, Zion Williamson's been here 6 years already.
Yeah, it goes fast.
And, you know, it was kind of like, blink, he's here. And joining us right now is the head coach, Willie Green of the New Orleans Pelicans. Coach, welcome to the show. Let's get you set up here. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Newell Norman. You know Deuce McAllister.
Yes,
we really appreciate it. Big day today. It just seemed like the season just ended not too long ago, and here we are starting all over again.
It goes fast. It really does. It's almost no off season now, but we're excited. We're excited to all get back together, get this group going. You know, ton of talent on this team. And, yeah, we'll get going tomorrow.
Coach, we were just talking. They were David and Bryson were talking that Zion is in his sixth season, but has it really been six? Because they talk about his maturation and still going on, and David made the observation that the team has suffered a lot of injuries over that 6 year period of time that kind of reduced the amount of play time and so forth.
It has been six when you're getting paid for 6 years, for sure.
So, and I guess that's the way you market,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you sign a six-year contract, it's six. Mm-hmm. So, we understand that there's been some injuries, and, you know, we want to get our guys on the floor. We want them to be healthy. It allows us to be at our best and maximize this opportunity, and we're super proud with the steps that we're taking. And Zion's been doing amazing. Last season, he played 70 games, the most in his career. You know, it was fun to coach him on and off the floor, but seeing his maturation process has been pretty cool.
Coach, we talk about pressure, not only from a player standpoint, but from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah.
What right now, you know, as you guys enter into the season, you have the media day, then you go, you know, basically tonight you'll go up for training camp. Just what are some things that you kind of worry about right now before the season even start? Because it's you and your staff, and whether it's watching film, whether it's making sure from an offensive standpoint we're clean, from a defensive standpoint. I mean, obviously from a player's health standpoint, that's always going to be a situation. But what are some of the things that, hey, I'm still worried about this, or I need to go back and watch this, that you kind of deal with right now?
Well, Deuce, you're stealing a little bit of my thunder. That's a part of my message to the team is really changing some of our terminologies. You know, instead of talking more about pressure, it's really responsibility. I think, you know, off the floor, you know, we're husbands, we're fathers. You know, we go to work every day. There's a responsibility to showing up, being a professional on and, you know, in our careers. And, you know, there's a responsibility to coming each and every game and showing up and being at our best. And those are the things that we want to focus on. You know, I really try not to worry about things that I can't control. I think the things that we can control is being prepared. Mm-hmm. Making sure, you know, that our focus is on what does it take to give ourselves the best chance to win this game, and going after it together. There's some areas of improvement. Clutch situations last year, we wasn't at our best starting with me, and so that's something that I'll be looking at this season and trying to continue to improve in.
There was some additions, obviously, in the off season. Y'all talk about making the team better. Talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. We're always looking to improve. I thought Griff and Bryson, they did a great job of, you know, starting with the draft, being able to get Eves and being able to get Antonio, adding Carlo to our roster this season. And then, you know, making the trade to get DeJounte is going to be huge for us. You know, he's a tremendous leader. You know, another basketball player in this league that has continued to improve. He's been all defense, and I think he's going to add to what we're trying to build here. You know, also adding Tice and Javonte Green, and, you know, there's several other guys that we added that just continue to build our roster to give us, you know, an opportunity, you know, once again to represent this city well and to go out and play hard and have fun doing it.
Coach, I know from a training camp aspect as well as, you know, getting the group together over the summer, different things of that nature. How quick do you want your group to buy in? You know, and I know that was the message as far as just being the father, being responsible for each other. But with the group that's been together, even though you added some other pieces, how quick do you want that buy-in to kind of happen? And, you know, it really just – it doesn't start tomorrow, but it's a build-up to that buy-in, to what you guys are attempting, you know, whether it's offense, defensively, as well as in clutch situations as well.
Well, if it were up to me, they would have been bought in already. But
when they signed that contract.
Yeah, that's the buy-in right now. But, you know, what happens is that, you know, sometimes it happens earlier. Deuce, you know, from playing day. Sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes it takes a little time. So we'll be patient in that area. But I think the biggest buy-in is that they buy in to each other. Mm-hmm. They buy in and they're committed to looking to the left and right and seeing each other as brothers and having that feeling of that I don't want to let you down and I have to do everything it takes to be at my best so we can give ourselves an opportunity to win games. And so we're firm believers that's going to happen. The time frame in which that happens, I think that's why you go to training camp. That's why you get away, is to spend more quality time with each other so you build up that equity.
So I got one question for you.
Sure.
And this will be my last one. Will you cover the first team dinner, you know, or are you going to let one of the other guys cover it?
I definitely will cover it. I love team dinners. You know, if it's up to me, I got them. Let's go out and do it for sure.
I got you, Coach.
Where's the time and place?
Coach. We're going to have a limited menu, though. Right? It's not, you can't order anything you want. You know, I'm going to get, you know, the bottles of wine will be limited. And so, you know, look.
You get CJ to bring the bottle.
You can bring them, import them in, and we're not
we'll
paying
CJ
you for
CJ import the wine. Yeah, that'll make it a lot less, you know, expensive on me.
I want to ask you about, you know, when we talk about buy-in, I think a lot of times when I talk to fans, they don't really understand that this is a collaboration of moral compass, character, mm-hmm. and then trust in one another. And, you know, I think a lot of folks underestimate the difficulty of getting a collective buy-in and creating a culture that everyone is comfortable with, because everyone comes from a different walk in life, right? Yep. A different place in life, right?
For sure. I couldn't have said it any better. It's exactly that. It's getting a group of young men that, you know, some of them come from similar backgrounds, some of them come from different situations, to all buy into something that's bigger than ourselves. And it's easier to do when you can see results right away. It's harder to do when you don't see the results. But this is what sports is about. It truly brings everybody together from different walks of life. You don't care what they look like, you know, what their background is. What you care about is that we can get on the floor together and go after something special. That's a special moment for a lot of us that have played sports at any level, is doing it with a special group, having that connectivity and that bond that lasts forever. And that's what we're trying to create here. And, you know, as one of the leaders here, I feel a responsibility to create an environment the guys come in, they feel that they can get their work in. We're all professional. But there's a level of joy that you want to have too, because it's hard. It's hard work. Yep. You're asking people to do something that is extremely difficult, and they do a great job of making it look easy. So everybody think they can do it, and yeah. And that's the beauty in sports.
And then it's 82 games.
It's 82.
I mean, that's
it's 82,
right.
Man.
You know, I mean, I do.
That's a grind.
Yeah. You know.
That's a grind. And yeah. So, I mean, whenever you have the commitment for a player to say, hey, look, no, I want to be available, you know, and you try to tell them, no, you can take it a little light. No, I owe it to myself. I mean, because the thing that a lot of times, and you talked about it, you don't see the work that right. You put in the offseason. I mean, you don't see when I'm in the gym by myself. Now, social media has changed that a little bit where you see clips of it, but a lot of times you don't see what it takes to get to this point. And so you have to be committed to it to want to play in every game, you know, particularly when you're able to. And then I think, you know, the opportunity that there's something greater on the outside of just the regular season, that's the ultimate goal. And that's where that's where I see this team trying to get to. And, you know, it's taking that next level, that next step.
Yeah, it is. To your point, Deuce, it's all about that. You know, that's the level that we want to get to. Those are the principles that we want to build. And then, you know, as far as games, I continue to tell our guys that, you know, this is about legacy. Once you walk off this floor, that's it. Like, your games are your games, and you want to play in as many games as possible and give yourselves an opportunity to be at your best every time you step on this floor, because there's somebody in the crowd for the first time they're watching you play, and this may be the only time they get a chance to see Zion or to see Brandon or to see Herb, and you want them leaving that game saying, wow, like, I want to go do that. And so that's the responsibility we all have and you know, this opportunity to play basketball, myself coach it, but that's their responsibility as players to give people that feeling.
Coach, one observation and a question. You are the most even-keeled guy I've seen on the sidelines. I'm up in the stands beating on the chairs, and you just incredibly even-keeled when somebody is completely, totally fouled, almost knocked on their tail, and, you know, it's obvious to everyone. And, I mean, you just keep it real and keep it even. But what motivates you every morning?
Number one, my commitment to God, my commitment to the Lord. You know, every day I wake up is an opportunity to give my best, and so I'm committed to that. And, you know, to our families, and then we're so tremendously blessed to be able to do some of the things that we're doing for a living. You know, as hard as it is, in the bigger scheme of life, it's just not that hard. You know, it's people would love to have these opportunities.
You're not the center of the universe.
No, not at all. Like, it's so much more going on around us that, you know, people have some difficult situations. And so, you know, just having an awareness of that. But the even-keeled stuff is because, you know, I do all my screaming, shouting, and whatever I'm going to do in practice and then shoot around. That's our preparation time. And once we're out here, it's these guys, it's their opportunity to take this platform and go and use their talent and their gifts. And that's what it is. And so
I love it because
staying cool in the moment.
You exhibit emotional intelligence, the ability to manage one's own emotions and the emotions of others. And it comes out, you know, not everybody has that capability, quite frankly. If you look across the league and in any of these sports league and just as a fan, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's one part of it, is like trying to stay, you know, calm during those moments, because our team needs it. Like, these guys are playing, they're already emotional. I don't need to necessarily go to that level. Yeah. And then the second part of it is I'm scared to go there because I don't really have an off switch. You know, I might be kicked out the game.
That jambalaya is hot enough already.
Yeah,
it doesn't need another sauce,
from,
right?
Zero to 100, so it's better for me to just stay at zero right now. Yeah.
Well, best of luck to you with this upcoming season. We are very excited to be a partner with the Pelicans, to be able to air the games this year with the new relationship that we have with WWL and the Pelicans. And we're excited to see more of you and hear more of you.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure being on. Appreciate you for sure.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good luck
to
see
you, Coach. Thank you.
Okay.
All righty, folks. We are broadcasting live at the Pelicans Media Day out here at the Smoothie King Arena, and I'm joined with someone who I have never had the opportunity to broadcast with, Deuce McAllister, and really enjoyed watching his career, and it's a special day for me for sure. We will be right back. Stay with us. That's right. We're here at the Smoothie King Center for the NBA Media Day, the Pelicans Media Day, and we're joined by Todd Graffanini, the voice of the Pelicans. Todd, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. I mean, I'm following Griff and Willie. I mean, what am I supposed to do here?
I don't know if that's fair to you, to be honest.
Come on, Deuce.
But we're here.
All right. No, glad you're here.
He's one of the voices of the Saints. He ought to know exactly what to ask you.
Not necessarily to ask him, but just to follow up on it. And, you know, if there's one guy that has seen this team, obviously, you know, over the years and the growth that this team has had, what will it take for them to get to that next level? I mean, because that's what the fans are waiting on. And, you know, now to be able to bring it to them via WWL and yourself there, what is it going to take for this team to take that next step?
Yeah, Deuce, no, it's a good question. And it's been an incremental growth since Willie Green has become the head coach. The win total has increased every single year. The hump right now is trying to get out of the play-in because that's 3 years in a row. You know, the Pelicans have been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years, but two of those years had to advance out of the play-in. Now, the year prior was not able to win the play-in game against Oklahoma City. So that's the key, I think, is to get out of that 7-10 spot. The thing about last season, guys, which was a little disappointing, and what really got swept under the rug, is this team won 49 games a year ago, but due to a tie break with Phoenix, instead of being the sixth spot and getting into the playoffs without having to play those two games, you had to play into the 8-9 game.
Correct.
And you think about all the games last year that the Pelicans were not able to close out. You're talking easily 4-5 seed. You're talking 55 wins. So the potential is there. This team won more road games than in the history of the organization a year ago. It was the home record that was a little bit on the disappointing side, and a lot of those home losses were because they weren't able to close games out. I think that's the hump that's got to be kind of ascended here, Deuce. And with the talent that they've got assembled, and especially the point guard that they have brought in DeJounte Murray, I think there's an outstanding possibility that that's going to happen.
We've seen this team start slow a couple of times over the last couple of years, but, you know, you talked about it having that road record and not putting yourself in the hole early. How critical will it be for this team to kind of start fast? And I'm not talking where you have to go, you know, 12-2 or 10-2 to start the season, but – you're winning the games that you're supposed to win, because we know the West is loaded.
Well, look, Deuce, it's crazy because, you know, obviously you're calling Saints games and there's 17 of them and every one of them is big. And you don't know what game is going to keep you out of a possible postseason berth or not. And even though the NBA is 82 games, it's exactly the same thing. Like I said, we had 49 wins last year. But it came down to the final Sunday in this building against the Lakers that was the difference between being in the play-in or being in the playoffs. Right. So every single game, and especially in the Western Conference, every single game is going to be incredibly important, because you don't know if the one game is either going to ascend you or bring you down. So, look, Coach Green talks about it, and I don't know if he brought this up with you, but the season is basically in groups of 10 games. And if you're at 5-5 or higher in each of those 10-game segments, you're going to end up with a pretty solid record. And you go back to last year, the Pelicans were never really had a losing 10-game stretch. They avoided the long losing streak. That's what you have to do in the NBA. You can win your 3, 4, 5 games in a row. That helps. But if you lose a game, you do everything you can to keep it from becoming two in a row, or especially three in a row, because when everything is bunched really tight, as it will be in the Western Conference, that's the difference between moving up two spots or dropping two spots within a week. That's how close things were a year ago, and I see no change in that this year.
And it's tough with that two extra games, as you talked in with the play-in, because you're already on the end of an 82-game schedule, right?
No doubt. No doubt. Look, it's a grind, man. It's funny because today really starts a seven-month process going from this day heading up to Nashville until the season ends, hopefully in May, maybe even early June, hopefully. But it is a long, long deal.
I don't know about you, Deuce, but when they said we were going to do this, I said, wait a minute, they're starting already?
It's time, baby. It's here.
It seems like it just ended. Todd Graffinini, have a great season. We'll be listening to you. Thank you so much,
so excited to be on WWL, fellas.
Absolutely.
So excited.
We're excited as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us.